Welcome to the Dastan Goy podcast, a collective exploration of Pakistani history and culture.
In this episode of Dastan Goy podcast, we get to sit down with Abro Hashmi, one of the leading fashion photographers in Pakistan based out of Lahore. Abro takes us through her journey and her Pakistan. So let's get straight to Abro. Abro, thank you so much for being on the Dastan Goy podcast. I really appreciate you taking out the time. I have been a fan of your work for some time now. I love what you do with Maram and Abro and the different initiatives that you have started yourself as well. I would like to kind of start off by hearing about where does Abro begin? How does she get to where she is in this beautiful space right now? How do you sum up your journey for someone who doesn't know?
Summing up wouldn't be very easy for me. It's been a very long journey. I would start with the fact that I was talking to Maram the other day that I remember being very uneasy at the age of like 17. And I had met Maram at 15 in college. And within a year or so, I started just wanting not to be doing what was traditionally required from me, which is, you know, academics, being a doctor, and, you know, all of those kinds of pressures.
Standard practice, Jyothi.
Yeah. And I remember wanting to not be in Pakistan because I felt caged, I suppose. And thinking about it now, it makes me wonder that my family life was great. Everything was good. But just the fact that what was expected of me and what I couldn't deliver, I mean, I felt guilty as well that I'm not doing medicine anymore. And, you know, I just feel that I somehow realized at a very young age that it's okay if I stood up for myself and told my parents that, no, I don't want to be a doctor. I still don't know what I want to be, but that's one thing for sure that I don't want to put pressure on myself for.
Yeah.
And once I had done that, because, I mean, those were my formative years. At 15, 16, I did pre-medicine. I went through that whole thing. And once I graduated from it, I was like, this isn't for me. Otherwise, I didn't do well in my exams either because it just, my heart wasn't there. So I stood up for myself then. And then my dad was very clear with me, and so was my mom, that they want me to do a master's degree. Before that, I'm not allowed to quit school. So they were just like, you need to do that and make a career and be a professional because that's how they wanted to see me. Just because I had to carry on with my academics, not and away from arts, I just did my master's in public finance. Administration. No, I didn't. In public administration. Can you believe that? I mean, I switched from pre-med to mathematics economics.
Yeah.
So that I could be with Maram in her class. And we did our BSc.
I love it. So 15, continuing on to university. Now you're going into her.
And just so that, I mean, during college, we discovered that, okay, we wanted to do, like, I liked photography. She loved makeup. And we started doing, like, practicing on our friends and even getting paid for it by the students and doing photo shoots for them. And once that started going, we kind of found a direction very early on what we wanted to do. The pressure for studying was always there. So we just kept on studying something that was kind of interesting to us, but we didn't really find it. We did our master's in public administration. In our majors, we chose advertising. And kuch to mile na, kuch to creativity, kahin se, just, you know. And once we did that and we graduated with our master's degree, we were like, okay, that was in the year, what year was it? Shit, 98. And we were basically, we started in 98, sorry, we graduated in 2000. And once we graduated, then we put our foot down completely. We're like, no, we don't want any corporate jobs. I refused my dad. He didn't speak to me for like 3 months.
Shuru say like university khatam kari foran ke job karni nahi. Great.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, just didn't want to. But, you know, he tried to intrigue us and, you know, kept encouraging, you know, you have to make a career out of what you've studied. And reluctantly, he encouraged me to travel with him to Abu Dhabi and Dubai. He was actually wanting that we might like working at that time at Media City. And
I worked there for a bit.
Moving. Oh, you did. Amazing.
I did.
So he took us there. He's like, you know, just try it out. Because hamara Pakistan mein, we were kind of, me and Maram both were like, nahin karna. So we went there, we took our CVs and everything and did a few interviews. We still didn't feel it. And of course, getting a job isn't easy either. So in that trip, we met somebody at a dinner who was talking about photography and art and stuff. And my dad, he's like, oh, you know, my daughters, they're photographers and they're into makeup and stuff. And, you know, maybe you could share some information. And he was like, yeah, really? Because a student of mine is starting a studio in Abu Dhabi. And maybe you should meet her before you go. And our flight was the next day. And in the morning, we went to her place, we met her, and she was like, you're on, that's it. She's like, because, you know, Abu Dhabi is a segregated culture, so there she was more than happy to have, you know, in a new studio two young girls. She liked the work that we already had, and that's it. I mean, it took me a few years to fight off and kind of still manage with the, you know, academic requirements that were made for me. And I just stuck to it, I think. And once we got that job in Abu Dhabi, that kind of proved to our parents, to my parents as well, that, you know, they're serious about this.
Yeah.
And they just, they kind of backed down after that.
So the career element had now subsided for them.
Yeah.
Now it's you guys taking it forward as to ye kahan jaati hai kahani. So Abu Dhabi se phir aage, how does the studio start in Lahore?
We worked there for around 4 years, 5 years almost, because we were traveling back and forth. Maram's dad, actually, he was like, I don't, you know, he wasn't very much interested in us going. And my dad kind of convinced him that, you know, no, it's a great experience for the girls. It's a life experience and, you know, international work experience. So he kept that in the back of his mind that he didn't like it. And he offered us that, you know, you guys just come back. I know you guys don't plan on quitting. So let me build you a studio here. And you do what you want, but do it in Pakistan. And do it in Lahore, obviously, where we live. And it was just like, where was this offer 5 years ago? Because at that point, we were pretty good. I mean, we were living on our own. We were doing what we love. And with the way things were developing in Abu Dhabi and Dubai at that time, you know, Claire magazine, Marie Claire and Harper's Bazaar and all of those were coming in.
I was at Condé Nast.
We were, wow. So we felt that it would be a missed opportunity because at that time we had already convinced our studio owners and everyone that, you know, we should also be pursuing fashion. And we got, you know, kind of sucked back into going back home. But I mean, you know, things work out. We made the best of it. It was wonderful.
There's a couple of things that you mentioned here, right? Like being the person who wanted to kind of stand up for yourself at a very young age and experimenting with what you want and not knowing what you wanted. These are all very important narratives in your journey, right? Like uptuck, yeah, as to figuring out what you're doing. These are conversations that we've had as to like understanding, you know, what life is at this moment, like abhi aadhe ghante pehle, like without, you know, before this, we were discussing this. And this familial guilt is like a narrative that every Pakistani, every brown person you speak to, that familial guilt is like an underpinning that goes everywhere, right?
Yeah.
What I'd be curious about in terms of Dastan Goi and how, you know, the story of yourself and the story that comes alongside what you do, the past 20 years that you've been working, right? 5 years in Abu Dhabi, coming back to Lahore, being given this amazing opportunity to build something, which I would ask if I would assume that it's still very early in Pakistan, because Pakistan has had a massive evolution in their fashion scene as well over the last couple of years, and how that has evolved as well, right? Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, you are coming back and seeing that journey. Mm-hmm. In not just the mm-hmm. industry, but then your own skill sets being applied. Jo aapne seekha tha Abu Dhabi mein, I'm sure that yahan pe jo gold bling bling kism ki photography hoti, necessarily might not be the same thing in Pakistan, right? So, how do you recalibrate for the Pakistani market, and then how have you seen one storytelling, two photography, art and makeup artistry, evolve in a market like Pakistan?
Well, we actually kind of brought back the international flavor of how things were done, of the kind of protocols that were, you know, practiced in the industry.
Yeah.
And we operated with that sense. So I would definitely say that was a value adding to the market here, because the evolution was very slow initially, because there weren't that many people doing it.
Yeah.
And let alone women. We were literally the first girls to be doing this.
I'm going to get to this. This is a huge thing I want to discuss as well, but yeah.
So I felt, I still feel that is what people enjoyed the most when they encountered us, when they came into our workspace. You know, our studio was purpose built. It wasn't in a house. It wasn't makeshift. It wasn't like remodeled to be a studio. It was a huge space, like international standards and everything. And we were editing the photos ourselves. I mean, we were doing, giving them international quality work. And that, I believe people enjoy doing that. People enjoyed working with us, the publications, the designers. And it was a brilliant change for everybody. We had to understand it, because we hadn't worked commercially in Pakistan before we left. And we had the experience of a certain level of, again, work ethics. And in Pakistan, things are slower, things are more relaxed, and a little, they were at least, back then they were a little all over the place. And you know, one person was burdened with everything. Like literally for many years, Maram and I, we've been the art director, the, you know, the stylist, the like we coordinated who's where the jewelry's coming from and all of that stuff. And yes, it's like the publications would do it too. But now yes, it has evolved into everybody having their own, like they've learned that everybody has their own part to play during a photo shoot, during a, you know, an appointment. And things improved. I mean, lots of new entrants came in that time when we also, you know, moved back, and the game just changed, and it was amazing. And we were part of it. It was most memorable, because now I see things, the same things that we had to kind of struggle for, the same things are now normalized. And it's amazing, because it means everybody's on the same page, everybody's comfortable, they know the mechanics of it all. So more than a recalibration, I feel we kind of added to the mix.
I love that. That is exactly, I mean, I feel the same way. You know, when anyone kind of comes in from a different market, there are definitely different tastes and different ways, but then you add that work ethic. Like when I moved from Canada, I moved over here, work ethic wise, it was incredible because people over here don't reply. At least at that point, did not reply to emails for like weeks. And I was used to people replying within the hour. And mm-hmm. and that was something for me that I had to kind of, you know, shift. It's all cool. But what is curious for me in this is how have you seen the ask from fashion publications, from the industry evolve in terms of storytelling, in terms of narrative? What I saw in Dubai was that, you know, we wanted to, not me, but as brands, they always wanted to go outside for photo shoots. They would refuse to do them over here with the photographers that are locally based because there was a stigma. Ke jo yahan par hai is not good enough. Even if they're doing better photography, even if they're editing much better, if the quality of work is, you know, way over par from international standards. But there was a stigma around ke nahi bhai humne Los Angeles mein jaake shoot kiya, ya to humne London mein Shoreditch mein Ace Hotel mein shoot kiya. Like, you know, there was that kind of stigma there. And we would end up spending like millions of dollars on these shoots per year. It was very difficult for people for photographers and friends of mine who are from this younger generation and this new age, you know, who are bringing film back into the cool realm, who are, you know, taking their iPhones and going out and shooting incredible campaigns. And now like I see them and I'm just like so proud of these guys who, you know, had just come to Dubai and now they're shooting for Nike Global. They're shooting for Carhartt. They're shooting for Rick Owens and all of these incredible brands. And I'm like, at the initial standpoint, when I was working in fashion, for instance, 4 saal pehle, I was not able to give them the bigger budgets, the bigger campaigns, kyunke they were locally based, kyunke they were that, you know, the other at that point. And they didn't have that international kind of tappa. Did you see that happen or is that still happening? Like, I don't know in Pakistan, mein kya hota hai, kaisi cheezein chalti hain. Like, I don't know what the magazines ask for or the brands ask for. How have you seen that evolve and how has your work evolved alongside that? Because, one second, because your work is incredible. Like, when you look at your work, it's like, it's beautiful up front and like portraits, but then it's like these... it's like going into a sci-fi film and you see like these, the way that you work with shadows and the light and then with Maram, with her makeup, it's just, it's a story, multiple stories in an image. Right. And it's beautiful to see. Like, and I'd want to kind of understand the evolution of that. Okay. Pehle din to aapne aake bhai studio khole, iska ye matlab to nahi na ki like I can do whatever I want, because your own voice evolves with time as well, right?
That is absolutely true. And the major difference in what you're referring to, for instance, in the UAE market and here, is that we don't have those kinds of budgets. We never did. There was a time initially when the, like, our biggest brands, for instance, are the textile companies, like the Lawns.
And Cardi Generation, those guys.
Yeah. And Al Karam and all those, and Gul Ahmed, you know, I'm talking about the textile fabric companies as well. Baki to, obviously, they're retail brands. They started this trend of not wanting to, they wanted to work with the Bollywood actresses. And in order for that to happen, they would have to do the shoots where they were. So they would take them either to Europe or Dubai, you know. They would try to get the local photographers to photograph those campaigns, but that wasn't allowed because then, you know, with the celebrity status comes their own choice, their own teams that they want to work with. So Pakistan got... like our billboards and our magazines got flooded with content that was shot by someone else. And that was, you could read it as something that they wanted, or was it because of the stars? I mean, it's the chicken and egg thing. But I don't think that's ever been the case that they didn't want. In fact, let me rephrase it. Even if they did want to work with some international photographer, it was way out of their budget.
Got it.
So what we had was, briefs and basically client briefs and with tear sheets, aspiring to look like some other photographers or an international photographer's work. And they would hand it out to the local photographers and say, okay, emulate this. And that's how I think the whole scene evolved, that, you know, they would emulate a certain background, a certain location, because it's not readily accessible.
Accessible, yeah.
So the bigger brands, I mean, maybe 5 or 6 of them would definitely go, I don't know, international and shoot with some celebrity or an international model. And that was a huge trend for a couple of years until the younger generation, people who were part of the marketing teams, the brand managers, until the younger ones took over. And they brought in this, this side of Pakistan of being more Pakistani, of promoting Pakistani artists.
There's a massive shift in this narrative that I've seen personally, like being outside as well.
So, and globally as well, because the whole shift of inclusivity, just that, I think affects everybody. And now you see, the models, the kind of models, that whole, the profile of a model has changed.
Yeah, completely.
The profile of the kind of person you hire to do the makeup or the photography, the art director. I mean, everything has changed. Now people are giving chances to newer kids and somebody who doesn't have an extensive portfolio. Now those things don't really matter. And that's how it happened here, because firstly, lack of funds. They couldn't really do all of that. They couldn't, do that kind of nakhra ke nahi hum to kisi aur ko hire karenge. Well, how many times? Because you guys need campaigns for every 3 months. You're launching new collections, so you can't afford it. So then they had to make do, and that lifted up everybody.
Brilliant. And then how has your voice evolved in this period of you guys working now for 20 years? What have you learned about yourself?
What I've learned is that I think because of the fact that Maram and I did not go to an art school and we didn't have that kind of support at home. And when we were young and wanted to be in this field, our stance had always been, we were always basically defiant, that we were always up against something. And it wasn't a figment of our imagination. It was true. There was pressure from home that this is something, this is not cerebral. This is art. And, what are you going to do? This is not a career. How much money will you be able to make? And we want you to be progressive, strong corporate job holders. And, if anything, and progress that way or get into bureaucracy or, just... anything but art. From that to proving them wrong that no, we can do this, and proving the industry wrong that no, there, yes, we see it, that there are no men here, but it's okay. It's just because there are nobody tried it, but it's okay. We'll do it. We'll be the first one. That's fine. And against all adversities, against all odds, we were kind of in survival mode for the initial years until it became normal, until it kind of normalized. They started accepting us. The industry started accepting us. Our peers started accepting us. And we kind of crafted our own path. And made it smooth enough that even we started enjoying it rather than being always kind of, you know, on the back foot that, hey, what, you know, and being cynical that what's somebody else's agenda? We're like, forget that, do your own thing. And I mean, then of course, life also keeps happening alongside work. And that also evolves you, that makes you think about things. And you start losing interest in the more commercial aspect of your, you know, of your career as well. And I mean, this isn't, I mean, when you're self-employed, that is a major problem because especially in the arts. And not spiraling down that, you know, rabbit hole of commercialism. But it did happen and we did, we enjoyed it. And it's a, I think right now it's like a, we've evolved into that phase, okay, that, you know, there still are huge gaps in the industry in how it can evolve even further. It can progress even further. Whereas, you know, these are things that you cannot focus on when you are in the deep of it. And now that, you know, our life is not as aggressive in the commercial sense, because now we've got kids, you know, and we're taking it slow that way. Then you, you know, and then I think more than that, I think the past year with the
COVID-19. Introspection starts to happen. And as you know, as you also evolve in your career, you get out of the survival mode and that doesn't do it anymore, especially if you're artistic and creative in that sense. It just doesn't fulfill.
For instance, since you were at Condé Nast, I mean, imagine that is such a big space. Those are multiple platforms from, you know, like they're magazines dedicated to different genres of fashion, right? Now, that is something that's sad about Pakistan, that we don't have that kind of a platform. We didn't get the international platform. You know, they didn't trust the market enough to come here and settle here. And I mean, that would have taken the artists, the designers to another level. But this, I feel that survival mode for most artists in the industry, like photography, makeup artists, who, how even designers, I mean, we are constantly just in survival mode because there's not much to do other than be hired and do someone's work, or okay, you're hired to design something for someone. And the avenues that platforms, that artistic platforms create or publications create, so that there's, you know, there's more variety in your own work.
Yeah.
That's not happening in Pakistan. That is a thing.
Have you seen more publications and more platforms evolve over time? Have you seen more platforms evolve and open up over time, and especially in the last couple of years? Because like if you think about it, like we have never had, like if I look at the macros of Pakistan, right? Like Pakistan as an economy is growing, over 200 million people. Your middle class is growing, your spending power is growing, although subset, like, and it's still growing. So your population is still at an average age of 23, 24 years old, which is very young. Like in that generation also is getting influenced by the age of social media, where everything is an open book, right? Like abhi jaake khol ke TikTok kuch aur dekh sakte ho, Instagram kuch aur dekh sakte ho, agar aapne padhna hai intellectually ke elections mein kya ho raha hai, Wall Street Journal dekh lo ya New York Times dekh lo. You really are susceptible to worldwide things. But we've also see it's weird, like there's globalization, but there's also that inverse globalization that's happening, where locally, especially the younger generation, at least that's what I see. I'm seeing that in Pakistan from afar, but I'm seeing that in the UAE up close. The kids who are like 19, 18, 17, who are these creative types, they don't want to see, which is also why on a global scale, you see Nike with who are changing the shape of their industry, of how they look at visualizing their models, or they're getting into hijabs. And that's something that's huge, right? Like, it's something that they would never even thought of. Or abab dekhte, so, you know, they're catering to so many different people and different kinds of people. And so there is this influx from the younger generation of wanting to feel like they belong, and the bigger brands to make them feel like they belong, rather than this, like, the aspiration has shifted, right? Jab ne pehle bola tha ki aspiration thi ki main Bollywood star ko dikhaun, which I think to a certain extent in Pakistan mein abhi bhi hai. Like, there is a lot of that marketing, right? Like, yahan pe bhi hoti hai, like, yahan pe har ek jo jewelry brand hota hai wahan pe koi Amitabh Bachchan ko leke bhejta hota hai, koi, like, you know, like, whatever ex Bollywood artist. But there is that inverse of aspiration, where people are like, I want to see someone who I can relate with. I don't want to see someone who is unachievable for me anymore. I want to see someone who looks like me. I want to see things that resonate with me and resonate with my own narrative. And those things are shifting the perspective of people. And I see that resiliency and that shift in Pakistan as well, right? With more and more brands being created, more and more photographers coming out, more photographers, or just, like, you know, people with a phone who want to experiment. So has that given way to more publications? Because I see a lot of, like, NGO publications, but what about on the creative side? There's still not, I mean, to me, I still sometimes lack the awareness, maybe I just haven't seen enough, I haven't researched enough, but there have to be, like, what are the publications that are not your traditional mainstream media ones that are, you know, either built in Pakistan for Pakistan? Like, are there any publications like that, or any platforms like that for fashion?
Just to answer the, you know, just to know what you asked, are you referring to publications as in the actual, like, a magazine publication,
physical or online platform, or anything?
Well, I mean, that culture died a few years ago, and it's almost, it's kind of gone. Print publication was a big thing, but also those were local publications that were linked to the, you know, big newspapers, and that shifted into becoming an Instagram page.
Yeah.
So then you would get published on it, on their Instagram page. I don't think that the, like, to me, that is such fast fashion that it doesn't, you know, it's like 20 posts will go out in a matter of 3 hours from a certain page. And let's say a photographer has done a wonderful campaign for somebody. It's gone. It's gone in, like,
it's ephemeral. You
know, and now, So in that regard, I feel that it's not enough. Something needs to shift in the industry that would give the artist a little more fulfillment. For instance, like, when you shoot a magazine cover, that's something. You know, that is definitely something else, because it has a, it's tangible. It is historically documented. Whereas now you would have, like, the trend has changed, basically. So now you do a campaign for somebody, it's released digitally. It's just gone in a few minutes. And I feel that, I mean, there is no harm in wanting publications like, you know, the Condé Nast group, for instance. If they were to start and establish themselves in our country, because what they serve is right now is in India, and we don't have that kind of representation. So for an artist, especially in photography, I would say, the height of achieving something in a commercial job is getting your work printed in a magazine, having it on a cover, having it on billboards. So wo cheez kafi kam ho gayi hai.
Epitome hoti thi na Vogue mein jana hai, like, you want to be Mario Testino or whoever else. And
absolutely. The thing is ke aspirations hamari bhi yahi thi when we started, and we it's just unfortunate ki hamari market was developing hui, and they it didn't evolve into that, you know, in a way that the international publications would, you know, come set up over here.
Yeah.
Because that would give everyone a great chance, and it's a great thing to aspire to. And now, I mean, if you look around, it's, I feel bad actually, because at least a few years ago when, you know, now that there aren't any more, you know, any publications, so the chance of being, you know, just to relish the moment that, hey, I shot for a cover for somebody, being asked to shoot somebody's cover, that's a big thing. Wo wali feeling ab photographers ko nahi milti. But then, you know, you get your dopamine hit on the likes.
On the likes.
And yeah. And you know, that, oh hey, my page or my photo got so and so likes or so many shares. That way, yeah, it didn't evolve. I mean, us tarah se publications aur wo nahi hai. Platforms bhi itne nahi hai, it's all mostly monetized, and you know, you can get whatever published if you pay
the right price.
The magazine or the blogger or whatever. So there's a huge shift, and it's kind of, it's like, are you really appreciating my work? No, because you know.
Interesting. I would also be curious to now talk about being a woman in this industry, starting off at a young age, again, going through that battle of not taking medicine nahi padungi, nahi main businessman nahi jaungi, you know, all of those things away, and making your own path, charting your own path. How has that been in a country like Pakistan? Second, with the platform that you just launched with Artea, what are you looking to achieve? Have you seen in Pakistan there being platforms to pick up women? Not pick up in that, like pick up as in like bring up to the front, like, you know, these guys are amazing artists, these guys are doing amazing work. How do we showcase these amazing creatives, whether in photography, whether in anything else? I mean, Artea, you focus on photographers. Like, and have you seen, or when you were kind of, you know, charting your path, did you have these kinds of people behind you, like tooting your horn, like, you know, this, Abra, you're doing an incredible thing. This is what, you know, like, here, let me open up some doors for you. Did you have that growing up? Have you seen that evolve? And how has it been?
That, like, the journey I experienced was very tough. And no, nobody was really tooting my horn at all. And it's understandable because the industry is male dominated in many countries, and Pakistan was no stranger to it. We like being women and not being taken seriously kind of goes hand in hand in any profession, I feel. And this one even more so, because when we started, it was just me and Maram up against the people who were already doing it, and they were guys. And you know, competition is what it is, and it, you know, it's a whole package deal. And we just kept doing what we were doing. Like I said, because there the lack of you know, international magazines or like a system or like what could you say, like work ethics, you know, a standard that one would follow. Like everyone was just doing whatever it takes to survive and whatever it takes to be in the business. And if that means ignoring a big change that, you know, now women are entering the field, so be it. I mean, it doesn't matter if people don't acknowledge it, but it was happening. And it happened in a way that everyone got used to it. They started paying attention. They were like, why not? You know, why can't we work with them? And our work, our volume, or, you know, our body of work, it shows that the people who worked with us, they were truly our supporters, because, you know, they would give us repeat business. They would, through them, I think it was the only way that we could have made it so far, even, because if they didn't trust us, nobody would have given us, you know, I mean, how would we photograph anything, right? So, and I'm talking about brands like Fahad Hussain, like HSY, Kamya Rokhni. These guys really did. I mean, they gave us repeat business. They would have our work published. They would be paying and buying covers and everything. I mean, unhone to karna hi tha. That's part of your business plan or your advertising plan. But to break away from their regular, you know, team that they were working with and trust to young girls and young artists, it was amazing. And with, I mean, their support was definitely it. And I'm sorry, what was the next part of your question?
The other thing would be, tell me a little bit about Ardea. What are you looking to, you know, kind of do with that platform?
So because I haven't experienced in my journey that kind of support and that kind of growth or a path that one can follow once you are in this field, I felt that, you know, I need to highlight, first of all, I need to bring women from Pakistan and internationally, even bring them together through my platform and just show people, show everybody, women, men alike, that, you know, we are part of the scene. You cannot turn, you know, a blind eye to it. And not that, I mean, the international artists that I've posted their work on my page, I mean, not that they need any advertising, but it's just a place where, you know, I would like to feature everybody, all the female creatives, so that, you know, it's a sense of, it's gratifying for me as an artist to see that there are so many more women out there who are doing this, and I can completely understand their journey and how they have achieved it. My plan, yes, for Artidea is, again, because I've been sitting on this idea so long, I didn't want planning to kind of stop it. So I just launched my page initially, but I would, like, my plan is actually hopefully to start competitions on it.
Nice.
And, you know, have some kind of an award that's linked to it, have some like a podcast, some interviews. I mean, you know, have a platform where people can hear women artists. They can see them at work. They can see their work and celebrate it rather than be threatened by it.
I 100% am behind that. I think it's a brilliant way of going about it. I think a platform for inclusivity and for showcasing talent. There was a really good example over here with the fashion prize. I think it's the DDFC or something like that. It's a fashion prize, mm-hmm. that they do every mm-hmm. year or every other year. I think Vogue sponsored it at one point. But the idea is, again, like, sometimes you just need a nod. Sometimes you just need someone looking at you and appreciating your work. Like, yeah. I need that all the time. Alhamdulillah, I have my wife, and you know, she's always like, come on, it's great, it's brilliant. So I love Walia for that, and I did the same for her as well. But it's good to professionally see that, and I love what you're doing, and I think it's extremely important, and it's really nice to see. I have two more questions. Actually, no, one more question. No, yeah, one more question. How do you describe Pakistan to someone visiting who's never been to Pakistan? In that same thing, what is one memory that you kind of grew up with from Lahore?
Wow. How should I put this? Pakistan is everything to me. It's home. It is where I feel good. It is where my heart is. Now, is it because my family is here and my friends are here and my work is here and my life is here? I mean, that is to be said. I feel, I mean, I could go on and on about Pakistan, but I just also feel sometimes because my own husband, he migrated to the States at a very young age and he had to move back to Pakistan for me. And I had moved to the States for a while and I couldn't settle in. And so I convinced him to move back with me. And I just feel that, you know, when people say, oh, this is it, you know, like it's home and any place can be Pakistan for, you know, other, like other countries are and can have the same value that we have for Pakistan. I feel that, it's such a tricky question, man. I don't want to be politically incorrect. But I think, yes, for me, for anybody who would ask me how to describe Pakistan, I would say I love it so much that I could convince a grown man to move countries and move to Pakistan. That's how much I love Pakistan.
I love it.
And it is, it is all that we kind of hype it up to be. And my best memories would be, I actually was born in Karachi. I spent the initial 8 years in Karachi. So, I mean, my best memories can vary from being at the beach to having street food in Lahore. I mean, come on. It's like, how do I pick this one? But my love for Pakistan runs much deeper and it's much more intense. I can't flower it up like that. It brings up a lot of intense emotions. But to me, yeah, I love it here. That's why I'm here.
Abro, I cannot thank you enough for taking out the time and being with us today.
Thank you, Ahmad. And I'm not able to articulate my feelings that well. So I'm sorry, but this might not be one of your best interviews.
No, this is great. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram and YouTube for more stories. You can get in touch with us via email contact.dastangoy@gmail.com. Until next time, thank you. Shukriya. Meherbani. Khudafiz.